Welcome to the River of Calms Beyond the Music podcast. I'm your host, Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. And our Beyond the Music podcast gives you a closer look at the artists who are on the River of Calm. And today in the studio, we have a unique treat with harpist and composer Kirsten Agresta Copley. Kirsten, welcome.
Thank you so much, Ed. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, thank you, boy. We could read your bio and I'll just have our jaws drop, but we'll start from the beginning though, okay? So when Kirsten was little, how did Kirsten get started in music?
Well, I started playing the harp when I was 5 years old. My mother was a musician. She was a vocal choral conductor, and she had a lot of unusual instruments sitting around our house when I was growing up. Wow. We had a marimba, we had, my goodness, so many different things. An wow. accordion, a concertino, I mean, lots of things. So the harp was one of them. It was a smaller troubadour instrument that's meant more for children or, you know, people that want to learn for their own enjoyment but don't want to at the expense of the bigger pedal harps.
Right.
And she basically bought it for herself for her own enjoyment because mm-hmm. she was involved in a lot of different community organizations, and she thought it would be interesting to be able to play it, you know, in public. But it turns out that her curious child took a little bit more of a liking to it.
Well, her curious child lived, it seems like, in a music store with all
yes,
the instruments.
Yes, exactly. It did feel like one at times.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, what part of the country did you grow up in?
I grew up just outside of Detroit, Michigan, in uh-huh. a town called Bloomfield Hills.
Nice. Very cool. A lot of good musicians up there, actually.
Yes. Definitely.
Totally so. My grandparents, 3 miles away from Motown Records.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And so, I went there in the 60s. Every summer we would visit. And had I known now what I didn't know then, I would have begged them to drop me off at Motown. You see Grandma. I'm going to go see the Temptations or Stevie Wonder.
Absolutely. So, what a treat that would have been.
Yeah. So now, when you were 5, you started out. But so that was on your own. Did you take any lessons with the harp?
Well, yes, she found me a local teacher by the name of Patricia Terry Ross, who mm-hmm. had played with some of the Motown artists that you just mentioned.
Nice.
And I studied with her for a very short time, and then I went on to study with the principal harpist with the Detroit Symphony, Mary Bartlett. Wow. And when I was about 11 years old, Mary decided that she thought I could go a little further than what she was doing for me, and she introduced me to Suzanne McDonald, who is one of the preeminent harpists in the world. And she also was the professor at Indiana University. Mm-hmm. So my parents drove me to Bloomington once a month from the time that I was about 11 until pretty much, my late teen years. And then I flew wow. back and forth to Juilliard to study with Nancy Allen at Juilliard for 2 years. And I had a really amazing family in that regard. They were very supportive of me, and they made sure that I had the best musical training that I could possibly get. So,
wow. Congratulations. Congratulations to them, you know, to have that parental backing. And that's important. Now, are your parents still with us, or are they?
My mother is, yes, uh-huh. and she actually lives here in Franklin, Tennessee, very close to us.
No so. Kidding. What's your mom's name?
Her name is Valerie.
Valerie, thank you so much for putting Kirsten in the right direction here. That's cool.
she'll be thrilled at the shout out.
Oh, good. Now the question is, does she still have all those musical instruments there for you?
Well, she actually finally gave me the Steinway piano that I grew up playing, and I have that now in my own home, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing to have.
Oh, you're just showing off now. Come on.
Well, you know,
that's cool.
We did her a solid, and because she lives in an apartment, we actually bought her an upright Steinway.
Nice. That's nice.
So we did what we called a fair trade.
There you go. And she's in the apartment with a Steinway. She'll have to work
exactly.
on her touch and feel of playing exactly. softly to not get the neighbors. Yeah, I hear you on that. Now, when you were growing up, who was your biggest musical influence?
Well, in terms of harp, I would say that Nancy Allen was actually one of my biggest influences. I really looked up to her. She had won the international harp competition in Israel, which is a very, very big, famous competition in our world.
Wow.
When she was just 16 years old. And she was just an amazing artist and somebody who I now am very grateful to say has become a friend. And she was my mentor for many years as well. So
wow. Now, so with that, you've surrounded yourself with a lot of amazing teachers, it sounds like.
Yes.
Was it surreal or was it just normal to have this level of teaching?
Well, I think when I was growing up, it seemed very normal to me because it was my experience in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I think in retrospect, I do feel very fortunate. And it is all, like I said, you know, to grateful to my parents for allowing me that opportunity. And mm-hmm. I ended up doing both of my degrees at Indiana University and continuing my studies with Suzanne McDonald because that seemed to be the right avenue for me at the time. So.
Mm-hmm. Nice. So you went to university. You graduated. Where did you go? I mean, is it tough to make a living as a harpist?
Well, I moved back home for a couple of months just to kind of decide what I wanted to do. And mm-hmm. Took some orchestra auditions around the country and really didn't feel like that was the best fit for me. I always wanted to have a lot of different unique experiences with my instrument and not be stuck doing just one thing. And so mm-hmm. I ended up choosing to move to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And I lived in New York City for about 18 years and had a wonderful career there as a freelance artist, basically doing a little bit of everything.
Nice. Nice. Glad to hear that. And, I have a deep respect for harpists because just hauling the harp around to your gig, you know, I was a pianist for a living. Again, just show up, dust off the piano and start playing. Yeah.
Well, I have to say I was very lucky in the city because it's a lot harder to have a car in New York City than it mm-hmm. is anywhere else in the country. And so I actually had a driver.
Get out of here.
And he was my former doorman, and uh-huh. he just decided that he would help me out with moving my harp to my gigs. And we have a great relationship. Whenever I go back to the city now, he still helps me move my harp.
Oh, nice. Very yeah. cool. Well, so with that, okay, so you go to New York, you stay there, you're doing your gigs, you know, you looked at symphony, which I would assume would be somewhat constricting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it isn't for many people, and I certainly respect that choice that people make to want to be in an orchestra. And mm-hmm. I enjoy orchestral work when I get to do it. I play with the Nashville Symphony occasionally, and playing with the Huntsville Symphony next weekend. So, you know, I do some of that locally here in Nashville. But, you know, for me, there was so much intrigue with being able to maintain my classical career, playing solo recitals and, you know, soloing at Carnegie Hall, let's say, but also being able to back up artists and do things in the popular world, which I always felt I liked to keep in my world, you know.
Nice. And let's talk about that. But just one thing back to symphony work. There was a study at UC Davis about the stress and tension of the conformity in symphonies. You know, you have to be on point all the time, you know, and everything. That then equated to symphonies have a high degree of private pilots out of there that have mm-hmm. pilots as hobbies because they can just get out and soar.
Interesting.
Anyways, that don't, not me. Some serious brains research that, but all right. So now,
cool.
I've got to ask, I'm so sorry. How do you fit a harp in a car? What is your, what's your preferred method?
Well, I drive a Subaru Outback, and mm-hmm. as long as you put the seats down, it fits perfectly in the back behind the driver and the passenger seats.
Okay. That's the show. I'm done then. I've got all my questions. No, I'm kidding you on that. So, okay, so New York happens. How did you end up in Nashville?
Well, at about year 18, my husband and I looked at each other and said, you know, it's a little tough living in Midtown Manhattan in a tiny one-bedroom apartment, and it's noisy, it's cramped.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
Where's our quality of life?
mm-hmm.
And his publisher, he's a singer-songwriter, a guitarist, and a engineer, wow, producer, et cetera, et cetera. And his publisher was based here in Nashville, and he'd been mm-hmm. making a lot of trips down here to songwrite. And so he kind of intrigued me with the idea of looking at some property and seeing what we could get. And we fell in love with a house in Franklin and nice. Decided that this would be our home. So
heck yeah. And it's kinder and gentler here.
That's very, very true. Yes.
And the seasons are milder too than in the Northeast. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, considering that we're having a lovely 60-degree day here on November.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would agree.
Okay, so you land with your husband in Franklin, which is just south of Nashville. Mm-hmm. They're both the same, but different at the same time. Okay, so just a little bit south. Then you got busy, and somehow you ended up at Vanderbilt.
I did, yes. I was very fortunate to be on the short list for the position when the former professor retired. And this is my third year at teaching, and mm-hmm. it's wonderful. I love teaching the students. They're all bright, young, very diverse, very motivated young women. We don't have any men at the moment, but so that's why I refer to it as just a female group. But
you don't see as many male harpists as female.
Well, not as many, no, but there are some fabulous ones. In fact, the principal harpist with the Metropolitan Opera is a male.
No kidding.
So, yeah.
This has always been a curious world for me. Again, I've sat at the piano and see harps coming in for brunches or gala events and all that. Never really knew, but just saluted for the courage to make a living with your harp.
Yes. And
maybe I'm just projecting, but that's hats off to you on that. Okay.
Thank you. No, I've never done anything but play music for my living. And I feel very proud and fortunate to do that.
Wow. So we need to thank, Valerie?
Yes.
Yeah. We need to thank Mom for that as part of it. So that's good. All right. So you have original music. Tell me about your writing process. Does this come really easy and you're just, dishing it out? Or is it agonizing or somewhere in between?
Oh, I would say that depends on the day, really. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For me, I've always had melodies in my head. Once in a while, I would jot them down, but it's only been very recently that I've sat down and really put them to paper
that's important. So when you get your idea, some people or some artists will, sing it into an iPhone, audio note. Some will, dash it off in GarageBand just to get something, because the short-term memory, at least for me, it's like, forget it. But for you notate. Is that correct?
Well, sometimes I do voice memos, especially if I'm in a hurry. Mm-hmm. If I think of something, I know my retention won't be for very long.
Right.
And it'll be fleeting. So I will sit down and, flip the iPhone on and get down something, on a voice memo. But a lot of times if I'm really in the craft and want to work on it, diligently, I sometimes sit down at the piano, to be honest. I like being able to press down the pedal and be able to hear the notes flowing into each other, because the harp is such a percussive instrument. And it doesn't always translate the same way until I start working with effects. So if I'm writing something on the piano, sometimes I'll go to the harp to see if it works on the harp. Mm-hmm. And then if it does, I'll continue on the harp. And I have a pickup on my harp that I attach to a pedal board. And I've got a lot of different effect pedals that I work with that I can kind of create around.
Wow.
And so the new album that I'm releasing is actually a New Age ambient album. And Fall Leaves Fall, which is one of the latest singles that I've released digitally, is from that album. And it's a very interesting mix of kind of, New Age, contemporary, classical writing with soundscaping.
Wow, no kidding. So what is this, the one that you've released? So we'll make sure that our listeners will know to listen for it.
It's called Fall Leaves, Fall. And it's the latest release. It just released last Friday.
No kidding. Well, we'll have to definitely check that out. And how many effects pedals do you have?
Oh, well, there's a few that I really like. One of them is Eventide Space. Mm-hmm. And that's one that I use quite frequently in my writing process. And it makes an appearance on a track or two.
Okay. We'll try to figure that one out.
Well, there's a lot more than just that going on, but but it's in there.
Pay no attention to the girl behind the curtain. Right?
Oh no, I just mean in terms of the soundscaping. It's not just one effect. There's a mixture of a lot of different things, and that's in the production part of
All right. So a serious question though is, do you mark out X amount of time per day, per week, or just whenever it hits to write?
Well, I really do it when it can fit into my schedule. So if I'm not teaching at Vanderbilt and I don't have a gig and I have some time in the afternoon where I can go into my studio and really commit to it, then I do.
Got it.
So it's not, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but I do it as often as I can. And especially recently, since I've had a project and an album that I've been working on, it's been more of a routine.
Nice. And out of curiosity, how many albums do you have as of today?
Well, this will be only my second solo album. My first one was released back in 2001, which is, I'm ashamed to say, a very long time ago.
Yeah, well, you have life and you
But life happens.
Yeah, no kidding. Plus, you have a day job. Yeah.
Well, and also living in New York City for that amount of time, it was also very difficult to record. And while we had the ability to do that, my husband had a tiny rig in the bedroom of our one-bedroom apartment, and we did do some recording there. I would always have to go to a real studio to record an album. So the album that came out was called Dream World, and it was a classical, it's not past tense, it is a classical collection of real gentle, sleepy tunes that are meant for relaxation and stress relief. So it had some Debussy, some Hovhaness, Grieg, Granados, and they were all classical transcriptions that I did for the harp.
Oh, we'll look forward to hearing that for sure on
Thank you.
And by the way, you do bring up something about recording in New York. I know numerous artists here that record in their home because it's quiet. But again, you have a space issue there in New York with people next door and people making noise and sirens, I can imagine.
Exactly.
All right, let's get down to it. So you've got all these works that you have written. As of this moment, which it can change at any time, I know, what would you guess or what would you say is your favorite song right now?
Wow. I think my favorite would have to be Onde. And in Italian, that means waves. Mm-hmm. And so I have a trilogy of songs that I wrote with Italian songs, Italian titles, excuse me. And Onde was written for the love of water. And I love being near the shore. I love being near the ocean. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was written to evoke the feeling that one has listening to the wind, the waves, sloshing against the shore. And that's my favorite so far.
Oh, and just for those of us like me who was thinking, well, how do I spell that? How do you spell that?
Onde is O-N-D-E.
Thank you. All right. That helps me. I was O-N-D-A-Y, so I'm way out of the loop there.
Well, phonetically, that was correct.
All right. Well, our producer, pianist Eric Baikalis, I think you might have seen him at the live stream concert.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, Eric is, again, pianist for Neil Sedaka for 35 years and an amazing musician. He produces these podcast for us. And so right now we're going to listen to your favorite song, On Day, by Kirsten Agresta Copley.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Ande by Kirsten Agresta Copley. Wow, congratulations. Beautiful, beautiful music. And you said that, once again, Ande means wave in Italian.
Mm-hmm.
And it was your homage to the ocean and waves and to that effect.
Exactly.
Nice. Now, where can we find your music?
Well, you can find all of my music on basically every digital platform. So Spotify, iTunes, Pandora, Deezer, Amazon Music, Google Music, anywhere that you love to listen to your music to download or stream.
You are a busy girl. And don't forget the River of Calm for the
Calm. Oh, well, of course.
Yeah. Sorry, I always have to shamelessly plug that. Now, we have to take a minute to talk about the elephant in the room, okay?
Which is?
Well, if you go to musiccityharp.com, which is your website,
mm-hmm.
and you click on the About button, I mean, the number of people you have played with or on stage with or recorded on, I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
I mean, Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, Late Night with Letterman, Late Night with Stephen Colbert, Live with Kelly and Michael, CBS Early Morning Show. Well, there's those shows and all that. Lady Gaga, Stevie Wonder, Jay-Z, Beyonce, Enya, The Who. Oh, my gosh. It goes on and on. What's up with this? I mean, are you like the it girl of harp?
Well, I'd like to think I'm one of them, maybe.
Yeah. Jeez, whoever your agent is, they're doing the job.
Well, that's me. I'm my own agent.
Wow.
Yeah, I was very fortunate. Around 2005, I actually got a call to play with Kanye West at a show called Live 8, which was the basically the second installment of Live Aid, which happened back in 10 years prior to that. And Live Aid was all over the world. There were Berlin, Paris, London, and we did ours here in the United States in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first entry into the world of playing with artists.
No, I'm still, my jaw's dropped. It's wait, harp and Kanye West? How did that work?
Well, it was interesting. He had it was during an album of his that he basically used a string section for, and mm-hmm. he really liked the harp. He ended up bringing me out for quite a few different shows. We played at Lollapalooza. We played on TRL on MTV, which no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, he was, you know, he was a cool guy that was doing some really interesting stuff, and he wanted a harp, so it was great for me.
Props to you and him, that's for sure. Wow.
And that was really the entry into the hip hop world for me, because then just after that, I was hired for Jay-Z, and right after that, I was hired for Beyonce, and you know, I've had a long relationship playing for both of those artists, actually, in some very unusual and interesting places.
But was this all emanated out of New York in your time living
there? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, most of it was, yes. Mm-hmm. You know, The Who was actually here at Bridgestone Arena.
Oh my gosh, how cool was that?
So some of them have been here. I play on the CMA Christmas show most every year. So there's a lot of country artists that you'll see me playing beside. And
now, is this surreal at all? Any moment you're kind of like going, "Come, I wish my friends could see me. I'm playing with The Who." You know.
Well, you know, I've been around, I guess, what you'd call famous people a lot in my life, mm-hmm. and they're just people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think of them any differently than my neighbors. And I think they appreciate that, because the last thing they want is for somebody to be starstruck when they're, you know, backing them up on a big production show.
Right.
So.
Understandable. Oh, and let me just throw in there, playing for President and Mrs. Obama at the White House State Dinner.
Possibly the coolest gig ever.
No kidding. How cool was that? My gosh. Did they stand
that was with Beyonce.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Wow. Do the people at Vanderbilt know all this?
I think so, yes.
We need to make sure they know they've got a rock star in the, you know, teaching harp there. Wow. So with all this, I mean, what an impressive resume at musiccityharp.com. Out of all of this, I mean, from when you were 5 years old with your mom all the way up to now today, what, if you can, what would be your top memory that you're most proud of in the music career?
Well, I would say that I'm most proud of accomplishing two major goals in my career. And one was soloing center stage at Carnegie Hall. And nice. The other was to play for a president that I supported. And that was for President Obama. So,
wow. That had to have been cool. No, I take it Valerie was pretty happy with this.
I think she's always been very, very proud of me, yes.
Nice. Very cool. All right. So you've got a beautiful website. You've had an amazing career. And you're known as the IT or one of the IT harp girls. Okay. We'll just say that. All right.
Well, I appreciate that, Ed.
Don't
Thanks.
Deny it. Embrace it. Okay. So what's one thing that people really don't know about you? Something that nobody knows. Deep, dark secrets. It's just between us.
Deep, dark secrets. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I have any of those, but mm-hmm. perhaps one thing that people wouldn't know about me is that I'm an avid crossword puzzle fan. And so I do the New York crossword puzzle every morning.
Wow.
Over my coffee. I think my dog and my husband are probably the only people that know it. You know, people that know that.
So. All right. You're keeping it real with the home, you know, with the New York thing. Wow. Very good. And do you finish them? Are they tough?
As the week goes along, it gets a little harder. So, you know.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Sometimes I finish, sometimes I don't. But it's the process that I enjoy. So.
Okay. Well, then hats off to you for being an avid crossword fan. So now, let's say you had a wand and we grant you absolutely one musical wish. It can be anything musical. What would you grant? What wish would you grant?
Well, I would grant people to find solace in music. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, there's so much in the world today that can be confusing and frustrating, angering. Mm-hmm. But music can be soothing and also uplifting, and it can transport your mind into a different place. And so I would hope that my music can do that for people as well.
I think you've zeroed in on it. You really have, you know, with your pieces. And you know I'm a fan of calming music. And
right.
and so you're in the right place here for sure. And we'll hope to have you on one of our live stream concerts if I can wrestle you into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we're not Beyonce, you know, but our listeners will love to see you, that's for sure. All right, so last question, and you've done wonderfully on this. Chit-chat together.
Chit-chat.
Yeah. Let's say we have one billboard we are buying across the country. And this comes from Tim Ferriss for our work week, because he asked this question and I'm just blatantly copying it. All right.
Okay.
We have one billboard for you that will be all across the country with your saying. What would you say on this billboard?
Huh. Well, one of my favorite quotes, I guess, is from Goethe, and it's boldness has genius, power, and magic in it.
Now, say that again. Boldness has genius, power.
And magic in it.
Nice. That's cool. Okay. Well, I will let the billboard people know, okay, that we're going to do that for sure on that. And you have just, what an amazing career. And just congratulations to you and your husband. And
thank you, Ed.
And props to Valerie for having that musical store and your dad, too, in your home. So
thank you.
Let's make sure we check you out on musiccityharp.com and on the River of Calm. So there you have it, a behind-the-scenes look at harpist and composer Kirsten Agresta Copley at the River of Calm Music Podcast. All right, I'm your host, Ed Basil, and the River of Calm is music to soothe your soul. May the calm be with you.